Welcome again, friends. It is your pals, Mario and Brian, Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast, episode number 65. Mario, what's going on, man?
Getting ready for some fun in skiing, hearing about ski news. Also getting ready to take a big trip.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'll be going to the luxurious realm of Oktoberfest in Germany.
Very nice.
So flying out to Munich tomorrow, going to do a quick trip Wednesday to Sunday, because that's how I roll.
In and out.
In and out. Going to do some Oktoberfest and see a Bayern Munich game.
So very, very cool.
It's going to be kind of fun. Our buddy John's going to be there. He's already there.
Just waiting for you.
Just waiting. He's hanging out.
Just trying to, bat off those transvestites for another day or two before you get there, right?
Supposedly he's working. I don't know what he's doing. He said he went, 230 kilometers an hour on the Autobahn today.
Nice.
And he said it was pretty terrifying because the person that was driving was a coworker of his.
Mm-hmm.
And was in I think it was an Audi wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was smoking and trying to pull up his favorite songs on the radio while he's driving. Like, what does that equate to? 130
or so?
130 miles an hour.
Around. So wait, 230?
230.
Because 200 is 120 miles an hour. So, yeah, it'd probably be about 140, I guess, then. About.
That is.
Because 1.6 kilometers to a mile. So if you do 230 divided by 1.6, that's fast. Let's just say it's going pretty fast.
Let's just say it's ridiculous speed.
Yeah. So next week, I guess you'll be talking about your adventures in Deutschland.
Deutschland. I'm trying to think. Oh, here we go. It was in the dark. It was in an Audi wagon. Dude's playing Brazilian jazz and fumbling with the radio while he's going 230 kilometers an hour on the Autobahn. It's baller as fuck.
Life on the edge, baby. That's the way to do it.
He lived to tell a story about it, right?
That's true.
So.
So thank you guys so much for listening. You can check out all of our information at SkiBumPodcast.com. Find us on social media, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. And we are also on Pinterest, and we're the Highfalutins, one word.
That's pretty funny. They like cut it off because it's too long, and it's like, oh, I guess we're Highfalutin now.
We're Highfalutins. We're plural, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Highfalutins.
Highfalutins. What are we talking about today, Brian?
So it's that time of year right now. It's the end of September. Things are starting to get a little chilly. Snow is starting to fall all over the country. And we just had our little screening of ski movie trailers.
Boom.
For the season. So we checked out about, I guess, like 10 or 12 different ski movie trailers. Going to give you guys a little bit of a sneak preview on what we saw. And we'll also have on the website the links to all those trailers on our 2016-2017 ski movie trailer page. So you can have the same little viewing party that we did.
Yeah, you could do that, do the little party.
You have a couple drinks.
Gather some friends around.
Yeah, it's a nice way to kick off the evening.
Nice.
But before we get into that.
Oh, you know that music. It's the time.
It is the time for Après Today.
Après Today.
So, Mario, what do you got today?
So, today I am doing. Oh, yeah, we crushed it from the show thing here. We got to update that. Breckenridge Brewery has their pumpkin. It's a pumpkin stout on nitro. It's really, really delicious.
Mmm.
Yummy flavor. Like typical stout, 5.5% alcohol. Good flavor, a little bit of spice in there. Definitely a hint of pumpkin, but not like a syrupy pumpkin, which is good for me because I don't like syrupy beers at all.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes like a nice porter, not a sweet porter, just a nice regular, not a porter, a stout, like a nice regular stout. Pretty good. I could drink this in the morning, like instead of coffee, I think.
Yeah, no, I took a nice big whiff of the sample you gave me, and yeah, it had like a really strong like banana, cinnamon smell to it. But
spice,
the taste really, it was way more stout and coffee than any pumpkin or syrup or kind of like overly sweet grossness.
And it's not even heavy coffee, just like a nice hint of coffee flavor, you know?
Well, it's nice, too, because on Nitro, it has that real rich smoothness to it. So it was, you know, really easy to sip. And, yes, you could definitely put it in a coffee cup, have it at work, and no one's going to notice.
What are you drinking? I'm drinking a coffee beverage.
A coffee beverage.
That works. You're technically not lying there.
It's true.
How about you, Brian? What do you got? What do you got today?
Okay, so today, I've been a little under the weather the last couple days. I can't kick this goddamn cold. And after drinking my disgusting home remedy of, it's this mixture of onions, ginger, pepper, like a hot pepper, garlic, lemon juice, and apple cider vinegar a couple times a day.
And how do you make that?
You cut up all those vegetables. You pour in the vinegar and the lemon, and you put it in a mason jar, and you just take spoonfuls of it often as you can.
So it's like brothy kind of stuff.
It's like salad dressing with no oil.
Does it work?
It actually works pretty well. Yeah, if you have any sort of cold or sore throat. I got it from reset.me, which is this website that Amber Lyon, I think, is the she used to be a news reporter, and then she started going on these like psychedelic journeys and experimenting with, you know, different natural remedies. And it was on the website for a natural strep throat cold remedy. So that's kind of what my go-to now instead of getting antibiotics or any of that crap.
Wow. So reset.me?
Yeah, reset.me.
Huh. Was she the one that like quit on TV, said, screw you guys? Or no.
No, I think that was somebody else. but so you can only have so much of that stuff. It really just, I mean, it vaporizes your stomach too if you have all that vinegar and acid. So that
was your pre-op ray.
That was my pre-op ray. But now I moved on to a lovely hot toddy here. So this is kind of my modified version of a standard hot toddy. So I start with a delicious traditional medicinals throat coat tea.
All right.
So that steep for like 15 minutes. And then I put in the juice of one lemon. And this is a big like 24-ounce thermos size, you know, portion here.
Yeah, that's a giant thermos.
That 2 tablespoons of honey. And then to taste, I put in Christian Brothers brandy.
Nice. So good touch.
It's a nice mix. It kind of warms you from the inside. It kind of rips through the phlegm you got going on inside you. And it's helping nursing me back to health. So I'm a big fan of these things.
I got to say, now that the weather changes, this is the time of year you start thinking about going back to the après ski, the hot drinks again. You know,
we got to bring that segment back.
I know. The stouts, like, this is stout season, pumpkin season, like everything kind of.
Big double IPA season.
Oh, triples.
Triples?
I saw a quadruple today.
All right, it's getting a little out of hand.
It's getting out of hand.
I respect their integrity and them trying to push the envelope.
It's an octuple. It's like 30% alcohol.
It's a Google. It's a Google IPA.
Google. But yeah, we do have to do a show, and people have already asked. I've gotten web requests, personal requests. People are asking me, when are you making the punch?
The Glühwein.
Glühwein.
Well, that's tough. I probably, see, in my family, my mom always makes it on Christmas Eve, and that's it. She's like a one and done kind of lady. She's like, that's it. I like to make it usually before, like usually beginning of December-ish.
First frost, at least?
I could do that, yeah. Seeing a little snow on the ground, you know? Yeah. I like having seen a little snow before I make it, but, you know, we have a trip coming up this year, and I don't think I'm going to ship it cross-country, but I'd like to have some before.
Yeah.
So what's kind of gross is I still have some from last year in the fridge.
It's got to go bad at some point.
It gets, well, it is wine-based.
And juice in there, right?
And
there.
Juice. You like the juice?
You like the juice, huh?
You don't like the juice, no.
You don't have no more juice, huh?
Yeah, it's probably pretty gross. But hey, we could, you know what I'm thinking, though? Like, you know how with sourdough bread, there's like the starter? And like some of those starters are like a couple hundred years old.
Bad idea, dude.
I think maybe the Glühwein needs a little bit of starter. A couple drops from last year.
It could also leave you in the bathroom for a long time.
A little something for the homies.
A little something for the homies. Yeah, it's called food poisoning yourself.
Or the start of superpowers.
That
one
too.
Or the other.
If it doesn't kill you, makes you stronger, right?
I ate some significantly old guacamole today. Oh, and I'm actually still feeling pretty good.
Dude, you do that every once in a while. Every once in a while, like, you food poison yourself.
I kind of dose myself. Yeah. You know what? I think it builds up your immune system. It makes you stronger. It makes you fight things off.
You gonna go with that?
It's like going to the gym. Why do you go to the gym? You go to get to move your muscles in a way that makes them stronger. It's kind of what I do to my whole, you know, immune system.
Helps you move your bowels so you get stronger.
It does, exactly. Makes the sphincter muscles stronger, you know, holding back the ruckus.
Oh, the ruckus back. So, yeah, that's not good. No es bueno.
Yeah, so we'll see about the starter. But yes, the glue vine will be coming in December-ish. And we'll probably have an episode about, you know, maybe some hot beverage episode.
Well, I was talking to John, and he's like, oh, he doesn't know where to get it here. He's heard about it. I think he's had it once before. And he's like, oh, I'd really like to get a recipe. I'm like, dude, you got to talk to Brian. He's got the recipe and whatever. I said, and I do the Jaeger tea now. So I said, we could do a little either the day before or whatever, make it, and then kind of, or just bring it and have like a little sampling for a show, a little party action. That'd be kind of nice.
I think we need a podcast St. Bernard. So we can have the little barrel under his neck. He can have a little barrel with the glue vine in there.
That would be cool.
I remember I think it was Bugs Bunny or something.
We could sit outside and do the podcast.
There you go.
By the fire pit. Put the fire pit on.
Ooh, that would be nice. Get some crackling fire in the background.
Glue vine it up.
Wasn't there an episode of I feel like it was Bugs Bunny or something back in the day. It was like they had a St. Bernard who had a little thing of like gin.
Yeah.
And he would like walk up and you'd think he's like pouring out like a little martini. And instead of giving it to the guy, he would like drink it himself and then put his little barrel back on and leave.
And leave. It's awesome.
It was freaking great.
Time to drink. Boom.
Could you imagine a kid's cartoon now with like people getting hammered or animals getting hammered?
I would believe that than just seeing regular G.I. Joe out there like blasting people away.
Makes more sense to me.
Just saying. Now everything is like, I don't know. It's like different learning things going on. It's just strange.
It's either learning or something so just non-human, weird shapes and colors that it can't be offensive or construed to be anything at all.
Yeah, it would be really good if you were like on mushrooms or something, but like...
Like Pokemon and stuff. It's not like real thing. It's like kind of these little fake
abstract-ish
shape things. Yeah.
Very strange stuff. And they usually attach to some kind of toy that you can buy in the store.
Well, that's naturally the only way to go. Merchandising.
Of course.
As they made so famous in Spaceballs.
I'm just waiting for like, now that Sesame Street's on HBO, I want to see like them drop the F-bomb one day. You know it's going to happen. They can do it.
That would be pretty good, yeah.
The F-bomb episode of...
It was funny. I was watching the season finale of Mr. Robot Season 2. No spoilers here.
Oh, I got to watch the rest of it. Don't even say it.
They blanked out the F word, but they allowed the C word.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. That's weird.
That is really strange.
Yeah.
Sometimes it sounds funnier when they beep it.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't remember. I guess I got up to, like, episode 6 or 7 then. I must have missed the last ones.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
I'll binge that tonight.
It's good. Do it.
I'll be up to, like, 4 just binging.
You'll be freaking out.
Freaking out, man.
Freaking out, man. Speaking of freaking out.
Speaking of freaking. So.
Uh-oh.
It's time for another little segment we started throwing in here. Still kind of an ad hoc segment that we throw together, but we're trying to help our buddy Frank out.
That's right. This is Frank's Bean of the Week. And this week, it is...
Frank and Beans. Hold on a second.
It is the Sour Joker. And if you go to leafly.com, you can learn more about the Sour Joker. And it is a stimulating sativa blend of Amnesia Haze and East Coast Sour Diesel. This amped combination offers consumers a vigorous body buzz that is clear-headed and motivating, encouraging physical activity in or outside. Harness the mental clarity of this strain at lower doses and the fueled-up stimulation with continued use.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the recommendation, Frank.
Yeah.
You're a true super fan. We love you, man.
We do. We really appreciate all of your the goodness you send our way. So we're going to, again, we've got plans to get out to grown-up states where they allow you to partake in nature's bounty. And we may have to put this on the list, our shopping list while we're out there.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of things that you can consume in states that have grown-up policies, PAX 3. Was released last week.
Wow.
So if you're not familiar...
So we have, like, this is weed news. Like
this is kind of weed news now. Jeez, we're branching out here. This is going to be like a 16-hour-long podcast. It's going to be like Joe Rogan-like. Let's make 3 hours plus.
You just do a segment. Weed news. And
weed then
we'll
news.
Put Frank's Bean of the Week.
Weed music.
And all the weed stuff. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up now with the elections coming.
Elections in a few weeks, yeah.
I think we might have to do it. At least election specials.
Topical weed news. Yeah, for like this time of year. It's probably perfect. But yeah, if you're not familiar, PAX is a company that makes these wonderful vaporizers. So if you want to smoke cannabis, but you don't want the smoke to get into your lungs, you can go the vape route. So PAX, they're kind of, they're like the Apple pretty much of the vaporizer products. They have like really beautifully designed packaging, high-end products. Their stuff is usually kind of on the higher end price-wise too. But this new PAX 3 that came out, it's very small. It comes in a bunch of different colors. And I think this one, as opposed to the PAX 2, has a another cartridge you can get to, so you can do the dabs well as just the regular herbs you put in there.
Wow.
So, yeah, so this, they just released it last week, I believe. And it should be, I haven't seen any reviews yet on it. But as the as someone who allegedly may have a PAX 2, I'm curious to see the differences.
You're going to have to do a side-by-side test.
Side-by-side test, yeah.
I like the name PAX, too.
Yeah, I like my PAX hat that I have.
Ah, that is nice.
It is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to wear that out.
The problem is I look like the biggest asshole on the planet wearing it. Just because it, because of the shape of my head, I can't wear those really tall, you know, hats. They have to be more of like the crushed ones. So I just look like a 6-year-old.
It's like, more like a snapback, though.
It's like
isn't
a 6-year-old like Little League hat on me. So
I want to see you wear that through customs coming back from Canada.
Yo, Jesus.
Like, yeah, we're gonna have to search the car.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for wearing that goddamn hat.
Yeah. Should have just wore that Vancouver Canucks hat.
There, yeah, you should have just done that.
Blew it again.
They just would have beat you up then.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. All right. Let's kick things off this week with ski news.
All right, what do we got for ski news, Bri?
There's a lot of beautiful, happy things happening in the world right now. You know, there's, I know there's a lot of negative, sad things happening, but there's some beautiful, wonderful things happening too.
Always, always.
Last week, there was snow in 9 U.S. states and 2 Canadian provinces. Believe the hype. So in California, Mount Shasta got a nice little dusting of snow. Out in Utah, they're actually skiing at Alta. I mean, they got a decent cover, and people are skiing out there already. Snowbird got a decent cover. I don't know if they're actually skiing there, but they're definitely skiing at Alta. Oregon, Mount Bachelor got a little bit of a dusting. Idaho, Sun Valley got a nice little dusting. Taos, New Mexico got a dusting. Mount Rose in Nevada got a dusting. Montana has got some decent snow.
Damn.
Colorado, Silverton, Colorado had over a foot. And people are skiing there already. Telluride, Copper, Crested Butte, Steamboat, they all got a decent amount of snow. And up at Jackson Hole, they got, I'm looking at this picture, I think this was the Corbett's Cabin. They got probably 6 to 8 inches of snow up there.
Oh, shit. That's nice.
So snow is a-fallen.
Very nice.
Up in Canada, British Columbia, and Alberta, Lake Louise got over a foot of snow last week. And Whistler's got a nice little couple of dustings so far. So things are looking great in the Pacific Northwest and Western U.S. right now. So let's hope this continues into the fall and early winter, and we can get this ski season kicked off nice and early.
Oh, yeah. All right. Next up, we have People of Reno is attempting to buy Mount Rose Ski Resort in Lake Tahoe for $30 million via crowdfunding. So reported back in January of this year, Mount Rose was on the market, and I guess a lot of people were kind of putting, you know, bids together, but Murray Blaney with the resort marketing said that Fritz Boozer, who owned the majority of the resort, loved running it, loved owning it, but kind of, you know, just got to the point where they were ready to sell it and, you know, move on. So they put it up on the market, and there is a campaign to buy it via crowdfunding, which is pretty damn neat.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And it's cool, too, because they actually have a WebEx on September 29th. So hopefully this will be out by then. Probably will be by Thursday the 29th. And you can actually, you know, learn more about the campaign and this WebEx meeting and find out more about what needs to be done to make this happen.
Cool. All right, what else we got?
All right, next up. So another crowdfunding campaign, but for something totally, completely, and utterly different. So there's a crowdfunding campaign going on right now for this all-in-one, revolutionary, in quotes, all-in-one ski suit. Avid London skier Naomi Hampton has recently launched a crowdfunding campaign at Kickstarter seeking support for her revolutionary all-in-one ski suit, the CG1. Designed under her skiwear brand, Red 7 Skiwear, the New Age suit speaks of a modern take on conventional ski suits designed for optimum comfort in all seasons. So the campaign is geared to raise £55,000 by October 8th, 2016. And it's got a very interesting look to it. I mean, it's probably like partially spandex and neoprene and nylon and other materials. And it's
I like the onesie. The onesie's a nice take on things.
You know, it's simple. That's definitely what it is. It's simple. But it's got a very unique, interesting look. So I think there's some cool other, you know, the way like when you.
And that's definitely all on the inside. You didn't wear it on the outside. You could wear both.
I guess who could stop you, right?
Because when we were out in Europe, everybody wears those costumes on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of cool. They look like the onesie, and they just kind of put them over everything.
Yeah, this is kind of like a costume and a onesie and everything all in one. So there's different packages, too, that you can get. So their goal is, so that we said £55,000. It translates over to $71,000. They're at $25,242 with 9 days to go. And there's a bunch of different packages, too, you can get if you do support it. So we'll put the link in the show notes to how you can get it. It's on Kickstarter. It's called the All-in-One Ski Suit from Red 7 Skiwear. And they still got a way to go to meet their goal. They've got 139 backers so far, which is pretty good.
That's pretty impressive.
But they're only about, you know, probably a little over a third of the way to hitting their goal. So if you're into that, if you're into a pretty fashionable onesie, check it out and support the campaign.
You know, it is possible you talk your buddy into trying out a onesie when you're on vacation and you take a lot of pictures of them and put them on the internet. That mm-hmm. happens too. So
how many beers were consumed before the onesie was put on?
That was actually not too many, but they actually were serving beer in the store, which was amazing. Blew our mind. I think that helped foster the whole idea of, hey, why don't you just try the onesie on? And then there were girls around and were like, hey, they thought it was cute too. And hey, you know, so it was pretty good idea.
Hey, smell this rag.
smells like chloroform, huh?
Does it smell like chloroform to you? You know how that works.
Yada, yada, yada. You're leaving town the next day. No.
Yeah. Statute of limitations, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. Then you're in a snowball fight, almost arrested. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on that day.
Burger King at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. Burger King in Austria.
Mm.
Nothing but the best.
Doesn't get any better than that.
That's right. So, Brian, why don't you take the next one? I know this has a component of it that's near and dear to your heart.
This is just everything that is beautiful and wonderful in life as well. Whisper Ridge is Utah's new Mega Cat ski resort, and it is set to officially open this fall and winter. Nice. So this Whisper Ridge, they had a soft opening last season, and I guess because of how awesome it was all over the place last year, it kind of went under the radar and people didn't really notice. They only ran 2 snow cats to test the waters and see how it would work. But they have, 60,000 acres of private ski terrain.
Damn.
It's about 60 minutes north of Salt Lake City, and it is the world's premier backcountry powder skiing boarding destination. So they have 8 custom piston bully snow cats and 10 mountaintop yurts. They will provide all-inclusive, pure backcountry experience. You can spend the day skiing world-class terrain and the night in one of their luxurious yurt villages.
That is nice.
Starts with breakfast, you know, all-day cat tours, full day of skiing, 60,000 private acres. You have to worry, obviously, you have to have beacons and all your avalanche gear. Lunch and snacks are included. Hot and cold beverages available. And they're saying that each tour is four guests and all, or must have four guests, and all tours have a max of 12.
Wow.
So these, I mean, I don't see any prices on here per se.
Dude, if you have a yacht that we were talking about last week that's about 200 feet, you get one of those yurts. Have it year round. Why not?
Yachts and yurts.
Yachts and yurts.
They Maybe start. We should change the podcast name to Yachts and Yurts.
Yachts and Yurts.
Yachts and Yurts. Yachts and Yurts. Yachts and Yurts.
Yachts and Yurts. Yachts and Yurts. And Jaeger tea.
Jaeger tea. But yachts and yurts. I mean, this sounds like an absolute, you know, unbelievable.
That's a tour company right there. You take a yacht to the yurt eventually.
Why don't you put your yacht on top of the yurt?
Blimp it.
Instead of the
Boom.
Yurt.
Boom. It's all blimping. It's all blimping again. And you got your drones flying around. We got stuff going.
Yeah. You could stay in your yacht on top of the mountain instead of the yurt.
That's right.
Yacht instead of yurt.
Just put it on wheels and just
lower it. Burp. So this, I mean, I want to see more footage here. I'll find the link and I'll put it in the show notes, but it just sounds nice. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Very like secluded, very like, you know, not a lot of stuff being built up. I mean, a yurt is really, it's like a big tent, like a permanent tent, right?
Yeah, sort of. It's kind of like a cabin, you know, I mean, I guess it depends, you know, how true to the yurt you want to be. I'm sure these are probably going to be really nice cabins.
Yeah.
As opposed to more of an old school kind of yurt.
You gotta do it Genghis Khan style, man. You gotta yurt it up.
So this sounds like it's gonna be an absolute awesome place to check out. And they say you could actually fit 7 Powder Mountains into their terrain.
Damn.
So this place is massive. And again, freaking hour north of Salt Lake City.
Wow.
Why do we not live in Utah? I don't know. I really don't at this point. So, yeah, so Whisper Ridge coming this fall, this winter.
To a theater in Utah. No, to a to a place in Utah.
That's right.
All right, so I'm going to do a quick announcement. Trevor Sexsmith died in Banff National Park today in an avalanche. So there's a lot of people getting out there early, a lot of people trying to ski. There's snow falling. And I guess, you know, stuff just isn't settled. And a 27-year-old guy from British Columbia, he became, you know, got a little bit of notoriety last week when he posted him getting early turns in Jasper National Park. And I think we talked about that. He was the guy with the pizza in his backpack.
Oh, that was the same guy?
I don't know if that was him, but there was the guy that we talked about. He was in, I think, Jasper, and he did the backpacking.
Mm-hmm.
But he got early turns just a few days later. Got caught in an avalanche. So, very sad to hear.
Oof, that's terrible.
You know,
I don't think it's the same dude as the pizza dude.
Nah, not the pizza dude, I don't think. It wasn't the same name.
Oof.
But yeah, it's just rough. Moving on to something a little bit more lighter. So, there's a reposting today. TGR reposted a 1985 newscast from, I think it was from on CNBC, on NBC. CBS of skiers talking about snowboarding in Canada, and it is pretty funny because number one, they're Canadian, and Canadian people being angry sounds pretty funny to somebody from the Northeast because it's kind of like, you know, they're really mad, and you could tell they're really mad, but they just sound like they're just really still nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny to see. I mean, you have the hair, you have the big mustaches, yeah, you have the Chips mustache, the clothes. It's pretty funny, and they're talking about these wild snowboarders like messing up the mountain. You definitely have to watch it; it'll take you back a little. And it's pretty funny because I guess in some parts of the country, there's still people that are having the same rant.
Yeah,
but it's funny to watch.
It's actually CBC, not CBS, the Canadian Broadcasting CBC. Company.
Yeah. They said they One of the quotes they got from somebody they interviewed was, they're a bunch of smart alecks lipping off.
Ah.
I have no idea what lip off means.
Smart alecks.
So, yeah, it's pretty funny. Darn you snowboarders.
All right. And then we have one more story, and it kind of goes into our topic. And so Whistler Blackcomb, they released a 4-part video series, and it's called, the official title is What Does the Future of Skiing Look Like? And what they're doing is, you know, they're asking some, you know, after their 50th anniversary last year, they're asking these questions like, what if our kids stop playing outside? Is our thirst for adventure threatening our environment? Is the pull of the backcountry pushing our limits? What is the future of ski resorts? So they created this 4-part series to, you know, look into these topics and, you know, figure out, you know, what, how is skiing going to survive? You know, what, with all the threats of, you know, climate change and demographic changes and the cost of, you know, insurance and lawsuits and gear and whatever getting so crazy, how can the sport continue to thrive and survive? So it's pretty cool and forward thinking of them to think about this and to create this docuseries. So they just released it today, which is September 27th, and they have it on whistlerblackcomb.com. You can check it out and take a look and let us know what you think. It looks pretty interesting.
Pretty cool stuff.
It's very different than the regular ski movies you're going to see that we're going to talk about in the trailers. But it's something that needs to be talked about now, I think, before things get to be too late.
Very cool. Very cool. So, I think that's it for ski news, right?
Yep.
That was the ski news. Now we're into the main topic.
There we go. It's trailer time.
Trailer time. So, Brian, I know you collected a big list of the trailers, and then we sourced more stuff that we looked at, and
mm-hmm.
we kind of, it was good. We went down the list off of the blog that Brian has out there. You should definitely check it out.
SkiBumPodcast.com. Check it out.
Very comprehensive, has the little write-up of it, and, you know, then the trailer to click on. A lot of these are starting from what we saw, beginning of October, October 1st, 2nd, and then onward, so, like, November-ish, like, they're all coming out.
Yeah, a lot of the movie, like, the ski film festivals have already started, and they've probably been showing a few of these in their, you know, full length at this point. But for the most part, for most people, you know, it's still a little bit too early to have seen any of the movies themselves. So we just got to go with the trailers we have right now.
Yeah, and we picked up a few others watching the trailers. So
yeah, doing a little more searching. But some of these have been out there since probably end of July, early August. So
yeah, it's weird. Some of them had they had an announcement, but it wasn't the official trailer. Then they came out with the official trailer.
Then they had the trailers. Yeah.
But, yeah, why don't you start us off? I got to bring up the list.
Yeah, so the first one, I think this was the first one that was released this year, was TGR, Teton Gravity Research, their new movie, Tight Loose. And the premise of this, you know, it's always, you know, they have these amazing athletes going to these unbelievable locations and, you know, doing some amazing tricks and stunts and finding amazing backcountry terrain. But part of this, the theme for this movie is that it's Teton Gravity Research's 21st birthday. So they're going to be showing, you know, some clips and some elements of all their movies all throughout their history and probably talking to some of the people who were involved in the creation and are still there now, carrying on the legacy. Yeah.
Yeah. The trailer looked like pretty cool. It looked like a big mix of stuff. It looked pretty fun, like the way they did it. Like it was, you know.
Yeah, their stuff's always going to be fun. That's kind of, you know, I guess that was their kind of ethos from the start, and it's definitely carried through these 21 years.
Very cool. Then next we did Rune and Rose. So that's Matchstick Productions with Under Armour. And that one is kind of artistic.
And Free Skier. And Avery Brewing Company.
Oh, Avery Brewing Company. Don't forget them. But this one was a little bit more movie style done, where it kind of is like Mad Max-ish. Or,
that's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
You know, like...
very post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, and they're trying to imagine, like, you know, wow, there's a world with, you know, before climate change, there's a world with, you know, water everywhere, and you know, this little kid picks up, like, a snow globe, and that's, like, boom, leads you into, like, all this crazy footage. And the footage looked pretty good. It was...
it was dynamite.
It was doing some sick-ass stuff. And this one was filmed, I think, Alaska and Austria and BC, France, Switzerland, and they said the sand stuff was in Namibia. I wonder if they do sand skiing in it. I didn't see it in the trailer, but...
oh, they might, yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. So, yeah, they just give you enough to, like, I got to see the movie now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, TGR, and there's a few houses that put out movies that, you know, whether you like the trailer or not, it's going to be a good movie, so...
yeah.
Speaking
of that, Warren Miller's Here, There, and Everywhere. So the teaser's been out for a couple of months now, but the official trailer just came out last week, and we checked it out. And, of course, you know, with Warren Miller, you know, you're going to get the best technical footage ever. You're going to be in amazing locations, unbelievable skiers. And then you have Warren Miller himself. He always makes his appearance in there and does his voiceovers, and you get little nuggets of wisdom from him. And, I mean, there's probably few people in the world who have contributed to the ski community as much as he has. And just from a pure love, a pure joy place, which is, I mean, extremely cool and, you know, something that will be missed when he's no longer around. So,
hey, that's not going to happen for a very long time.
Hopefully not. I mean, the guy's just, he's lived the dream, you know, and... we use him as a bit of a motivator and an inspiration for the life we're trying to live here.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, they do a great job, Warren Miller, of piecing together, like, a whole story into not just showing, like...
there's, like, a thread that runs through all the different segments and the locations when they do these movies.
And it kind of weaves together to make a whole movie, which is nice, you know, with a meaning behind it, so it's kind of... interesting to see that.
And speaking of Warren Miller, Here, There, Everywhere, we want to give a shout out and a thanks to Jesse at Warren Miller Entertainment for hooking us up with our tickets for this season's premiere in Morristown, New Jersey.
Whoop, whoop.
So we are going to be there. We're excited. We can't wait. We got our nice little crew coming with us, and it's going to be an awesome time. So November 2nd, we will be in Morristown, New Jersey, checking out the premiere of Here, There, and Everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. Like we said, we got folks from the ski shop going, other people that we're bringing in. It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
So next we saw a trailer for, Vice Versa from Good Company. This is a Monster Line, North Face, Bose. I didn't know they were sponsoring Phil's, but Shred is a lot of,
you
lot
have
of
your headphones.
Yeah, that's right. So this is the first full-length film that I guess Tom Wallace and Good Company has done. And it's kind of a little urban feel to it. And that was the funny thing. Like, a lot of these, we'll watch the trailer, and then Brian and I will talk about it, and we'll be like, yeah, it feels a little urban-ish, a little, you
whoa,
know.
Whoa, 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 what you mean urban-ish?
So, like, you know, they're like in, you know, like they're skiing in like a school. They, you know, there's powder and you know, they're skiing off of a school, like onto like swings and rails and stuff like
that.
It's
almost like ski parkour.
Exactly. Yeah. Ski parkour.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. But it had that feel to it. There was some really cool stuff. There's a lot of, this is the one that they showed where they were just biting it on like the outtakes.
Ugh.
And some of them look pretty brutal, but it's kind of cool. Like they had some really great footage. But then they also show you the other side of it of where, you know, the outtakes that get to that beautiful footage that you see, that if that's all you see in the movie, you're like, oh, it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
You
know? Mm-hmm. But. And it did have one of the best songs in the further trailer. It was Dive Doused, which is a great song. So
nice
choice in music. All right. Next up, Here and Now by Forefront. So I guess this is the sixth video that's put out by Forefront, and you know, they have a cool mix where they do have a lot of the kind of urban, you know, rail, I guess, freestyle skiing, park skiing. And, you know, also having the big mountain, you know, backcountry line chasers. So it was a good mix of both of those in that movie. And I like the disclaimer that they have. It says, if you don't like skiing or having fun, then this isn't the movie for you. So we like skiing and we love fun. So we will definitely check that out when it is available.
This one looked like a lot of fun. When you talk about, like, you know, the trailers had, like, there's movie, there's a deepness to it, there's artistic. This just looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, this one looked really good.
Be inspired by Inspired Media. So this is, and I guess start, you know, I was looking this up and I looked at some of the other trailers and I realized like a lot of these are projects. So this is a 2-year project that they, you know, they're not just slapping it together in a year or 6 months. It's, you know, planned out. And this was a very urban type of movie. They had really cool, this is where they had the really cool music. Like the rap music and stuff was pretty
Raekwon from Wu-Tang.
Raekwon.
I think he made a song just for this.
It was freaking awesome. So, you know, they're billing it as possibly the most unique ski film of the year. It was unique. It was very urban. It had some really cool stuff. This also did show guys like busting their ass. and the music was pretty off the hook. So it was pretty neat.
Yeah. All right. Next, Tanner Hall's Ring the Alarm. This one came out of, I guess, probably nowhere, I'm going to say, for me. You know, we had this list of trailers here, and we checked this one out, and, you know, the story of this project, again, another one of them, that was a 2-year project, and they were out in the backcountry in British Columbia and Alaska, and they were just showing them that, you know, you go there, and obviously your expectations are we're going to get there, we're going to camp out for a night, we're going to find some great, you know, lines, we're going to hike up, we're going to ski. They were trapped for the first 8 days in a snowstorm.
That was interesting to watch, yeah.
And you got to think, like, I mean, the whole point of going out there is because you want good snow, but now the snow is just debilitating you, like you're trapped.
Mentally, that's got to do something. Just fucks you mentally.
You're just stuck in your tent. I mean, you go out there, you shovel, you know, the snow off your tent. You maybe move around a bit. You know, do what you got to do to keep the blood flowing and to stay sane. But you can't do what you're there to do.
Yeah.
And they're talking about it. They're like, this fucking sucks. This, I can't believe it. I'm losing my mind here. I'm going crazy.
I'm out of weed.
But then, like, they finally get out and they show the terrain and it's just unbelievable.
It was, yeah.
But there was some gnarly avalanches they were running into.
It was almost every scene they were showing was like the guys are starting an avalanche or riding into an avalanche or through it. Like it was wild. Yeah. You definitely tell, like, this was partially in Alaska, right?
Alaska and British Columbia they filmed this.
Yeah.
So this one looks really, really good.
I gotta say, out of all the one, this is probably gonna be the biggest surprise. Good movie that I think based on the trailer.
Mm-hmm. And Tanner Hall, I mean, he's a badass. You know, he's a total legend.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that he's got his name on it means it's probably going to be a very high quality product.
Next we have Pleasure, Level One, the official trailer. So, Level One, they came back this year with Pleasure. Very good mix of stuff in here. And you could definitely tell, like, they did the backcountry in Japan, which looked phenomenal, and Alaska, they were doing a lot of steeps. But then they had the whole urban feel to it, too.
This one had that frigging awesome collection of crashes, too.
Yeah.
This is the one that had some of the nastiest crashes I've ever seen.
Yeah, because, like, watching the trailers, you feel good, like, as you're progressing up, you're like, oh, this is cool. You see little, you know, big mountain, and you see the urban, and everybody's, mm-hmm. like, doing the trick. And then this one, like, again, you see, like, for a while, you see, like, crash after crash, like, holy crap.
But yeah, and it's cool because a lot of them with the tricks, you see the process of how they got to the final product.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to watch the X Games and be like, oh, this guy's freaking crushing it. Awesome. He's doing these flips and he's making it. He's landing it. It's no problem. He probably has always done that. But this shows the kind of progress to that. You know, it starts off showing the crashes.
Yeah.
And then a few seconds later, you see the completed, you know, flip or the completed, you know, trick, which is, I mean, that's really how it comes to be.
I like how they do it because, like, you see him crash and, like, oh, crap, you know, I wish he would have made it. And then he tries again and you see him crash again. And you're like, and then you see him make it and it's like, oh, it's spectacular, you know? And then they move on to the other one. It's like, same kind of thing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So then we found another one, Insight. So this is Trans World Snowboarding. This is a snowboard film. This one looked really good too. A lot of this, I don't see where it was filmed, but I think a lot of it, it looked like Alaska and very steep stuff. They were dropping the guy off. This is the one where they're dropping him off in the helicopter on a piece that looks like you could barely fit your feet on. And he's got a snowboard. And the one guy's talking about, like, you know, how they've always seen, you know, these steep skied and, you know, boarded. And just to do it now is, like, surreal and pretty crazy. This was pretty amazing. This was mainly snowboarding, and it was really, really cool to watch.
Yeah, that one looked really good. And next up we have Between. And this is a different kind of film, which is cool. It's a ladies-only shred flick, and it stars Julia Mancuso and Matilda Rapaport. And, of course, Matilda Rapaport, you know, passed away recently following an avalanche in Chile, so this movie is dedicated to her. And the concept of this movie is that, you know, it's lady-centric, and it focuses on the bonds filmed in the moments between things, you know, like the your post-ski beer, you know, the waiting for the storm to pass so you can get out there. And so they're kind of talking about, you know, how they find meaning in life between doing all the, you know, the crazy things they're doing. And this is, I think this was put out by Red Bull.
Yeah, this was pretty cool movie, actually. It was almost had like a documentary feel from the trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was neat. Next up we found Canvas from Blank Collective. This one, it had a mix of stuff on this one. And it was kind of, it was good. I mean, we saw a lot of trailers leading up to this. This almost looked like two movies in one. There's like one part that was like very urban, very, you know, kind of fun having a, you know, hanging around like the resort in the park, you know, the board park, and then going out and skiing big mountains. So it's pretty good mix. But yeah, this one, I think I got to watch this one again. It was okay.
All right, and last up, we have Supervention 2.
Part 2.
This is an inspiring documentary that explores the world of action sports through skiing and snowboarding. Experience the willpower and motivation it takes to conquer risk, fear, and injuries. From the young and ambitious to the legends of back then, meet the athletes at the top of their sport who choose to risk everything. So this was filmed in Norway, and I'm trying to see if I took any notes on. I did not. It starts off with a pretty awesome, you know, guy trying to do the Sonic the Hedgehog loop, and just freaking wipes out.
And they even show him like in the hospital and like recovering. It was pretty crazy.
So I think it is filmed in Norwegian, and there's English subtitles, but I guess it must be all filmed in Norway. Because the scenery is beautiful. It's unbelievable. They're in, you know, they're showing Lillehammer, they're showing the fjords, and they're finding some unbelievable terrain to ski in. And this one looks pretty...
This one looked like they were just having fun, like, in the resort, you know, kind of. I don't think it was a lot of big mountain stuff.
I think there was some interesting stuff there.
Just some, yeah.
Yeah, but this one looks like it'll be really cool. I mean, it's got some big-name sponsors, too, Audi and Head.
Yeah.
So it's going to be there's a great variety. I mean, you know, you always think, oh, ski movies, it's just people skiing. But it's cool the way that all these different, you know, film houses have found different ways to put their own take on it to make them unique and interesting.
Yeah.
So now if you were to pick your top three, just based on these trailers.
Yeah, well, because, yeah, that's what we have to go on, right?
Yeah, what would you pick?
So I'm thinking... top three is tough because I got like maybe four or five that I literally like.
You only got three.
I'm thinking, Warren Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here, there, everywhere. Tight Loose, TGR, because they're all so damn good.
Yep.
And then the third is going to be a close between Ruin and Rose and Ring the Alarm, Tanner Hall. And I'm thinking the Tanner Hall one is gonna be in my wheelhouse. I like the whole camping, you're stuck, you go through adversity, and like your whole plans are, you know, shit showish. And the other one looks really cool though too.
Yeah, and you know, as much as it sucks, I have the exact same top three.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't go right. It's like rooting for the Yankees, you know? Like,
that Ruin and Rose looks cool, the, you know, with the premise and everything. I wanted to see more of the skiing in the trailer to kind of get the feel for it.
When I first saw that, I was like, what the fuck? This looks unbelievable. Yeah, because it looks like there's just so much production that went into it. You know, the whole, you know, post-apocalyptic concept and some of the footage is just insane.
Like some of these, if I don't get out to watch them in the theater, I'll definitely look for them. Like the one between, that looks good because, you know, it's also featuring Matilda Rappaport. That's her last movie that she kind of made and stuff. And it had a good different feel.
Even that forefront one here now. And you know what I think part of it too is, like, you know, we're not really park skiers. We're not like, you know, urban trick skiers. So a lot of the movies that focus more on that, I guess we're kind of like, oh, it's cool, but it's not really more what we're into. When like the Tanner Hall one, the whole idea of, you know, hiking out into the, you know, the woods or the backcountry in Alaska or British Columbia and setting up a tent and skiing, like that's, I guess it's more of what we are interested in.
Yeah.
Which is why we find it more, you know, compelling than some of the other ones.
The other ones I'd love to watch if they're on, you know, sit down and watch that all, like,
oh yeah,
all day.
We'll definitely
great.
Check them out.
So yeah, a lot of good trailers though. It's good to see, like, just from the industry perspective, like, you notice that a lot of the movies are sponsored by the same sponsors. So it's good to see that there's so much money getting invested in skiing and boarding. And even if you're not skiing and boarding, they have some features on here where they focus on just different winter stuff or just different, you know, different things in there. And it's really, really quite interesting to see that they are investing so much money in there. It's really cool.
Yep.
Which was the one that it was the idea that they were following the water around the world. And that had surfing.
Oh, did we not include that on here?
Oh, was that the one that was on Red Bull?
Oh, that was one that was on Red Bull.
Yeah, that was
we may have one other trailer then to add to this. A late entry, if you will.
Yeah, let me find it. So it was Red Bull, and it was something with four. It was not Four Seasons. Was it?
I don't think so.
Fourth Phase. So Fourth Phase, I found it on Apple's trailers. And this is with, I believe it was in combination with Red Bull and some other, it was Red Bull studios. But so the idea behind this, which I liked about it, and we didn't talk about this, it's the immersion into water wilderness that basically, if you follow the water and you surf and then you follow the water for the next season and you ski, and you're basically almost spending your life, spending the whole cycle using the same water almost. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's cool. They show like the mapping process and how they, you know, they started out, you know, in Alaska and went across and in the,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's very neat.
So they call it,
yeah, they're sailing, they're surfing, they're skiing, they're boarding.
Yeah. What was the term that they, it was like the geo, yeah, I forgot the name of it, but they had a name for following the path of it to see like where the storms are going and stuff.
Hydrological cycle.
That's what it
Boom.
Is. Boom.
Yeah, the hydrological cycle of the water.
I learned two things this week: hydrological cycle and Uberman sleep method.
Oh boy.
So,
yeah, so we're going to put that on the list as well. So that's fourth phase. And we'll have this all up at SkiBumPodcast.com, and you can check it out, and you can check out the trailers for yourself. Hooah. There it is. It's time for Under the Ropes.
Under the Rope. We're going under the ropes now.
Going to the ropes.
We got some good under the rope stuff for everybody this week.
So Mario, kick it off for us.
So let's start off with the fastest a human can bicycle is now 89.59 miles per hour.
Jesus Christ.
So the land speed record for human-powered transportation is now a few miles per hour faster. So they actually have a 2016 World Human-Powered Speed Challenge, which I never knew even existed, but I guess this goes on every year. Happens in Battle Mountain, Nevada, and cyclists riding the bike made by Canadian maker of human-powered vehicles, Aravelo, managed to break the record not once but twice. So I guess the name of the bike is the ETA bike, ETA bike. So I guess September 14th, a Tide Reichert hit a top speed of 88.26 miles per hour. So I guess it's a recumbent style. So that's where you're sitting back on the floor. They're actually kind of scary if you see them, like, because even when I go out riding, I'll see these guys sometimes riding the other way. And it's a little scary because cars, I don't think, can really see them. They're really low to the ground. Yeah. I mean, they're almost like laying on the floor. And
there's a dude in Hoboken who rides a recumbent bike around with all these like weird lights all over
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got to be seen because, I mean, mm-hmm. you're so short. I mean, it's tough enough when you're on a normal bike, but and you're standing on a bike, you're almost at like normal person's height.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you got that factor where you're not hidden behind another car. But recumbent bike, you'll be hidden behind another car. I mean, you're really low.
Are they easier to ride than a regular bike?
You know, I think the whole idea behind them is I don't think they're easier per se. I mean, especially if you're going uphill, you're still going to have to put in that work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're using different muscles and you're taking all the tension off of your back. So I think what you're doing is you're taking maybe some back strain off and you're just transferring it and doing a little bit more leg strain or something.
Hmm. Okay.
But it's more riding a machine than riding a bike. It's really strange. Like if you ever get a chance to see them up close, when you get in there, it's like you're in a cockpit of like a vehicle, you know, where you're on a bike, you're jumping on a bike and riding, you know?
Right.
But anyway, so that was September 16th. And then, what was the other date? That was last year. And then this year, they went, 89.59 miles per hour. That's crazy. So September 14th was last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they set the 86.65. September 16th was this year, and that's when they set the 89.59 miles per hour. It's crazy.
Yeah, 2.95 miles an hour higher than last year.
2.5. I mean, going downhill, like this is probably going, I don't know if they're going downhill. I don't know what the course looks like, but like going downhill on a bike, like I've gone 40, I think the most I ever went is like 43 miles an hour. And you're kind of shitting your pants a little bit. And you're definitely going downhill. So it's kind of going straight. It's, on a flat area, it's a lot to get up to that speed, but that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's some crazy speed there. All right. Next up. So this was found on motherboard.vice.com, and it's the hypothetical $37,500 day in the life of a luxury technophile. So what this really is, it kind of goes through, a day for someone if they just had ridiculous amounts of money and could, you know, just have a day and have this crazy expensive stuff. So it starts out, you know, a person wakes up and they have their Alexa virtual assistant, you know, $180 from Amazon. And then they get their Nespresso Prodigio and milk silver, you know, makes their coffee, $249.
Those things are great, I gotta say.
Really?
They had samples at
Williams-Sonoma?
Williams-Sonoma. Yeah. And I was like, this is the best coffee ever. I'm like, I should consider. And then I saw the price, and I was like, yeah, I can't.
They're spendy. Can't afford that. Yeah.
I'm not spending. It was like $450 or so. I was like, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
really? Not. Yeah. The next, you know, there's like a $4,200 titanium toothbrush and then a $200 shower head and then the $2,500 vanishing TV that goes into your bathroom's mirror.
Wait, the titanium toothbrush, do you have to change that every 6 months too?
Of course.
So that's $2,500 a month every 6 months, 3 months?
Yeah, they start at $4,200.
That's crazy.
I don't know how much more they get up to. I don't know if you can just change out the head or you need to get a whole new toothbrush.
I'm going to say that you got to be able to
I think you can swap the head out, yeah.
$4,200?
Yeah, that's a crazy-ass toothbrush. Reinast. R-E-I-N-A-S-T.
Wow.
Look at that. You can get titanium, champagne, rose, and matte black.
Hmm.
Okay, you can pop the head out, so... So there's that. So I'm wondering what.
So it's economical.
So it is economical. Yeah. So you can keep this fancy ass toothbrush for a very long time. I wonder how much these heads cost. If this thing is $4,200.
Only $3,000.
Yeah, probably like under $1,000. I'm guessing, which is really a pretty good deal.
Can you order them from Amazon?
Probably.
Prime.
Why not?
Prime.
All right, so then it goes into a couple other things. The Hermes Apple Watch, $1,500. Ralph Lauren Polo Tech shirt, $295. Omate Ungaro ring, which I guess buzzes, which I guess it syncs up to your smartphone.
And it buzzes when you have like
when
meetings?
You get a call.
Really?
Yeah, it's like between $500 and $2,000.
It's kind of the same thing the Apple Watch does, if you think
sort
about
of,
it.
Sort of, yeah. You can get a smart bed for $1,500. I don't know what this smart bed does exactly, but it seems smart, which is good.
What is a smart bed?
The It Bed. It's packed with smart technology to help you get the best sleep of your life. So you can adjust the comfort on each side from your smartphone. Okay. Your Sleep IQ technology to help you sleep smarter. Yeah, you can get 30 nights to sleep on it for free, which is great. So it's by Sleep Number, that company.
I'm trying to find replacement heads for this toothbrush, though.
All right, so after your meeting, you need to listen to this music. So you get these AKG N90Q headphones, which are $1,500. Pretty awesome. And, you know, if you want to start grilling, you got to use a Wi-Fi operated grill, of course.
What does a Wi-Fi grill do for you, though?
Well,
does it start up for you and like keep the temperature just right?
I don't exactly know. It is by Lynx, L-Y-N-X. And I'm trying to see
temperature
here.
Surface cooking, grilling, rate, stool position. All right. Voice activated or smart device controlled.
So that's... I guess you can fire up but then what's going to fire the igniter?
I guess it must be smart control.
It's so smart it can ignite itself.
So you're inside.
They can turn the gas on.
Alexa, put on the grill. Boom. That grill's on. Yeah. I like that.
There is a video.
You wake up in the morning, you want to fire up the grill just to have it go on. Alexa, fire up the grill.
Many people are like hacking your grill then.
Yeah.
Like you're making ribs. You're like, I got to keep it low and slow for like 16 hours.
Like burning
someone
shit.
Just cranks it up and like messes up your ribs.
Burning your shit right out, man.
You get a nice steak, they turn the grill down. You're like, God damn it, someone ruined my steak. People are hacking people's grills. That ain't right. It'll happen, though.
It'll happen.
That's what people do.
Bastards.
And some other things. Self-watering plants, $201. That's kind of cool. Levitating plants. They look like they're levitating. They're not actually levitating. Okay.
Smarty pan.
Get your iPad Pro, which is $1,100. And then, yeah. So, it's kind of an interesting story. It's cool to see some of this new technology in things that you're so used to seeing every day that are, you know, can get a little mundane, like your plants that don't water themselves. And now you know that there's some self-watering ones. You know, also these amazing grills that are now Wi-Fi operated. Because this week is, of course, luxury week. And, you know, If you want to find out more, you can go to motherboard.vice.com/luxury-week to find out all of the fancy, luxurious things that are happening this week.
Nice. Yeah, I'm still looking at the Smarty Pan thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pan that I guess will let you record the weight of the stuff you put in it and count the calories of the stuff that you're actually cooking.
Really?
It's a little too extreme, but...
Mm.
At least if you like that little gadget. I'm going to give you exactly... I'm going to cook exactly 8 ounces of vegetables. I mean, I don't... Does it really matter that much?
Or you could just learn how to cook.
Yeah, you just grab a handful or, you know, there's ways you can do that. Strange.
Yeah. All right, now I know the story is... Next one is near and dear to your heart.
Well, that's because it deals with a place that I think I may be part of the movement to. Mars. I mean, that's basically... It's my name, M-A-R. I'm I-O, but this is just S. I mean, you know, Mario is Mars with extra stuff in there. So Elon Musk recently revealed his ambitious plan to send 1 million people to colonize Mars. So there's a big write-up on it, and I guess this just came out in the last few days that he had a conference. I think it was...
The conference was today, wasn't it?
Today.
I think it just happened, yeah.
It was today. So he basically came out, said he wants to make Mars seem possible in our lifetimes, and he has, you know, the rocket technology, and his plan involves sending 100 people at a time in a giant rocket to the surface of the red planet. Now, of course, there's all this other stuff around habitating the red planet, and colonizing, but one of the other things he mentioned, and if anybody knows their planetary geology, which I actually took a course in college on planetary geology, if you believe it exists, it was actually, I thought, was going to be a very easy course, and it was a very hard course, and I was very upset because I learned a lot, but I thought it was going to be an easy grade, and I was like, I really got to study for this now.
That seems like a stoner class.
Yeah, it should have been, but it wasn't. So, and I was
going to planetary geology, man.
There were like space people, engineers in there, and like geologists, and I was like, wow. Shit, I'm in the wrong place. But anyway, so if you terraform Mars, so the idea behind terraforming is there's water in the soil of Mars that's kind of mixed in a way that it's like it's a hard, crusty surface, but it's because it's so cold that the water is in there. Now, the idea is if you heat up Mars' surface, the water will melt, it'll help form an atmosphere, and then pretty soon you'll have an atmosphere where you can breathe, you know, oxygen, all that stuff comes out, and you have a nice sustaining atmosphere.
So isn't that where, like, Elon Musk's plan to nuke the poles?
That's one way to do it.
That's the expressway?
That's the expressway, is if you nuke the hell out of the planet, you'll, you know, it's similar to having volcanoes heat up the planet, which is, I think, what they're saying may have happened to Earth, is bombardment of particles helps eliminate the terraforming, you know, and then you get an atmosphere and stuff. So they're saying if they do that, you can have an atmosphere. So they're saying by putting a lot of people on the planet, you can actually do that as well, because we're really good at heating up a planet. Like, we've learned that. We've proven that over time.
What we're the best at.
So I think, you know, in history, we're hands down. Like, we got that championship. We can globally heat something if we want.
So why don't we send, like, prisoners up there? As, like, the guinea pigs.
I think, you know, what are you going to do?
We got an overpopulation of... I mean, we have the most prisoners per capita of any country in the U.S.
Send them to a part in Mars.
Yeah.
You know, a little penal colony.
Yeah. Like Australia. Mars can be our Australia.
The new Australia. The planet, the universal Australia.
Pretty much.
But they're saying he wants to send... So his theory, though, is that he wants to send people 100 at a time up to Mars and keep sending them. So his idea is... All right, we're going to start just emptying out, like, some city. Just like, come on, let's come on, people, let's move it. So he wants to get a total of 10,000 trips across 40 to 100 years, which he says is possible. So SpaceX, with the technology, as he says, is possible. He says each flight would take about 8 months. He said they'd have, like, games, restaurants, entertainment, all sorts of stuff just to keep people, you know, going for those 8 months, and then they'd come back, and if anybody wanted to come back, yeah, sure, we'll go to Mars, we'll go back to Earth, we'll make this shuttle go. So I guess it sounds really strange, but if you work out the numbers, as long as everything goes on schedule, he came out with the cost for it, and he's saying with the cost, with current methods, it would cost about $10 billion per person with the way we launch stuff into space.
$10 billion per person?
Per person.
Whoa.
With the way that he has it budgeted out with his reusable rockets and, you know, over time, he's saying it would be roughly about $200,000 a ticket for each person. Now, that's getting up to what Virgin Galactic is saying, which is pretty fucked up. We're talking about these companies that are already planning to send people. Virgin Galactic is booking flights to go on their spaceship, and Musk is trying to say, well, you know, for the $200,000, I could send you to Mars.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
Then does that include, like, hotel and everything on Mars? And
that's got to be all-inclusive.
It's got to be all-inclusive, right?
Got to be.
What's going to be the currency? Are you going to spend, like Bitcoin?
Mars currency, man.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then what's the conversion of Mars currency to U.S. currency?
Just use Bitcoin.
Or to Euro. I don't know. Boom.
You just use Bitcoin.
I think it's got to crush all the others because they got to have, like, you know, gold like crazy up there and stuff.
I guess we'll find out, won't we?
We'll find out. It'd be good to be up there, just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's got this whole thing that he laid out today, and it kind of took a lot of people back. But the other thing, too, you got to realize, so he's saying $200,000 a person. That's what he's estimating right now. Now, if he's talking 4,200 years, over that 4,200 years, the technological advancements that are going to come are probably going to bring that down. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess the real question that, you know, kind of giving it a skiing twist is, when will the first skiing take place on Mars?
I think it's going to happen right away.
You know, it's
going to be out there with a rover, you got your skis on, and you're hanging on to the back of it. You know, just let it pull you around.
Because, again, we don't know what the moon, I mean, we don't know what Mars's surface, what the surface is like. What if it's perfect for skiing?
There was a story that we found, I don't know if we had it on the show, but I found one where they said, what would the surface of Mars be like? And they were actually saying it would be like a hard, crusty snow, like an icy snow, because it's like ice in the...
I think we need to set up a Kickstarter to get us to Mars.
It'd be like skiing on the East Coast, man.
Yeah.
Going to Mars and skiing.
It's like a giant Vermont.
That's right.
We'll call it Vermont, too.
Giant Mountain Creek.
Vermont, too.
Mars Creek.
Mars Creek.
All right.
Whew. All right.
A little bit of ridiculousness, but I don't know. It's Elon Musk, man.
Hey, you know what? People laugh at, what's the whole, like, the saying? Like, first they laughed at you, and then they want to join you or something. I don't know.
Something like that. He's on a roll. Just leave. He's on a roll.
Something like that, you know? But, yeah, I mean, he always starts off with crazy, you know, wacky concept ideas. Like, oh, everyone's going to be in an electric car in 15 years. People, oh, this guy's an idiot. He's crazy. And then the first Tesla came out, had problems, and then the Model S comes out, and it's pretty damn awesome, and now it's got autopilot, and the Model 3 is coming out.
Self-driving, like,
yeah,
versions, I mean, like...
He has a vision, he has a plan, and he's not going to stop till he achieves that plan.
I mean, they're still trying to say he's not going to make... Well, they're not saying... Critics have stopped saying he's not going to do something, but he has that whole plan to, for the, what is it, the Model... The new Model S that's coming out?
The 3 is coming out.
The 3.
Mm-hmm.
The 3, the amount of cars he has to produce for that, they're like, well, he's not ramped up for that now, but he's like, yeah, we'll be there in 2 years when we have to deliver them. Or
yeah, it'll be late, but it'll be unbelievable, yeah. Like always. Okay, here's the quote, and it's from Gandhi. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. That's
Boom.
Elon Musk right there.
Boom.
Drop the mic.
Dropping knowledge
on the Martian
on
soil.
Oh, that's right.
Boom.
Poof. I see the red powder going up right now.
Yeah. All right. Last.
You know how you could terraform it? Weed is a very good terraformer.
Oh.
I'm just saying OG Kush might terraform the hell out of that place.
Yeah.
Just saying. Have a little Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg be the first scientist to go up there. I will bring my modern science.
Looks like that story we had like last year and talked about how they aged the whiskey, some of it at the space station, yeah. Some of it in Scotland, and had a different flavors.
They said it sucked in space, though, right?
Well, they said it had like a bit of a, was it a burnt plastic taste to it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, not exactly.
Turpentine, burnt plastic, usually not. It's an acquired taste. Maybe the Martian. Then we're going to start calling people Martians. I'm like, what do you mean, you people in Mars? Well, I mean, the people of Mars, like in outer space. Like, then there's going to be riots and protests. And
so you never know. Maybe the
they're going to get used to that kind of bourbon versus the other bourbon. It's mass hysteria.
Yeah. So you never know. There could be benefits to the Martian air for different crops.
Could be.
So not a bad idea to terraform Mars.
Yeah.
Using cannabis.
I think you just gotta. We're good at heating shit up. Let's keep that in mind.
Speaking of weed, our last story. So I don't know if you guys remember the band Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Do we ever?
It's the first of the month. I'm going to miss everybody. I'm going to miss everybody. So they're still performing. I didn't know that. But this story, unfortunately, it's sad, but it's funny at the same time. So a drone hit Bone Thugs and Harmony mid-performance at the High Life Music Festival in San Bernardino, California. And this happened a couple nights ago. There's some grainy video and a picture, an AP photo that shows Flesh and Bone was struck in the head by a drone while he was performing on stage.
Cold-blooded, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is happening all over the place now. You know, there was that ski race last year in Austria where that was a big drone,
that
too.
That was a big drone.
That fell right behind the one skier. Apparently, Enrique Iglesias had his hand sliced open by a drone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we know some birds that'll take care of that. We got some Dutch birds that'll come out. They'll unleash the birds, and that drone will come down.
I think Bone Thugs and Harmony is like a falcon in their crew.
That would be great. They get a
drone chasing falcon.
They could be the first customer of the Dutch police.
I think so.
Have the falcons waiting there, and if the drone gets too close, they release the falcons.
Release the falcons.
Boom, and then they swarm right in there and just take that thing down. Yeah. Either that, or it could be like Afro Man, just beat it to death, like on stage.
like Ozzy Osbourne, bite his head off.
There you go.
You know?
You saw the video of Afro Man, like, knocking out that girl, right?
Yeah.
She didn't go down. She got right back up.
Yeah, that was not so good, though.
That was like a UFC style, and then she got right up and looked at him, and then just kept walking off the stage. I was like,
you're tough. Hardcore.
She's a tough lady.
So apparently, Flesh and Bone, he kept performing. He was, doubled over and grabbed his head at first, but he got back out there and he was performing and getting it done. So
nice.
Hope you're okay, Flesh and Bone. Bone Thugs and Harmony still doing their thing. If you're hurt, get well soon.
Keep it real.
Keep it real. Anything else we got this week?
No, I think we're good.
I think that about wraps it up. So, Mario, you're getting ready for your big trip tomorrow, so have a great time. And can't wait to hear about it next week on the podcast. That's going to be the main topic. A little teaser for you guys.
You may see some video on Instagram. Let's put it that way. I think that's my plan, is to, when I get back to the hotel, which would be like, you know, different, it's with 6 hours off, I'll upload some stuff to Instagram, maybe send you some stuff.
Nice.
We'll see.
I'm looking forward to checking it out.
I'll have to carefully, like, look at it before I post it.
You're probably going to need a chaperone.
Yes.
So hopefully you can find one out there.
I need a spotter. I'm going to hire a spotter.
Spotter. Good move.
I'll find somebody to.
So you can check out everything that we talked about in the podcast at SkiBumPodcast.com. Follow us on our social media, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast. Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast, and check us out on Pinterest as well. We are the Highfalutins. And thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Please subscribe if you can, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from.
Give us some ratings.
Rate us. Yeah, please rate us.
Or email. Send us an email.
Send us an email too. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com.
Stay high, stay falutin.
Thank you guys. See ya.